You've probably heard about IQ before. You may have even taken one of those free online quizzes that promise to reveal how smart you are, you know, compared to Albert Einstein or Stephen Hawking. So exactly what is IQ? How is it measured? And what does it really matter? That's what I'm going to chat with Tom Cawley about in today's Rich Habits, Poor Habits monthly podcast. And you'll be pleased to learn that your IQ or your intelligence isn't fixed. There are things you can do to increase it and other things you may be doing that could decreases. So let's start with a quick disclaimer. Having a lower IQ doesn't mean a person's unable to have a high quality life, a successful life, and vice versa. High IQ doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be successful. Most people have got the capacity to learn regardless of what their intelligent quota score is. However, some are simply able to learn more quickly or more easily than others. Look, we know it. Some people may struggle in one area, have a weakness in one or more types of intelligence, but they're very, very successful in other areas. I love Albert Einstein's famous quote when he said, "Everybody's a genius, but if you judge a fish by its ability to climb a tree, it'll live its whole life believing it's stupid." So, welcome to today's show, and let's have a bit of a chat about intelligence and what you can do to improve yours.
Welcome to the Michael Yardney Podcast, where twice each week you will learn a number of new ideas regarding success, property investment, and money in around 30 minutes. Our show is brought to you by Metropole, who specialize in helping you grow, protect, and pass on your wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. Now, here's your host, Michael Yardney, Australia's authority in wealth creation through property, who has been voted one of Australia's top 50 most influential thought leaders.
Contrary to what you may have been taught, your IQ is not fixed. Believe it or not, it can increase or decrease during your lifetime. So what causes your IQ to change? That's what I want to have a chat with today with my good friend Tom Cawley and co-author of Rich Habits, Poor Habits. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Michael. How are you, my friend?
Good, thank you. Now, I know in one of your other books, Change Your Habits, Change Your Life, you discussed this topic a little bit. And I think it's useful for us to understand that there are some things in our lives we can change. So is it really true? Can I get smarter?
Yeah, and you know, this was something I discovered in my research. A lot of the self-made millionaires, they came from poverty or the middle class, right? So they didn't have the best schooling, and they had, I guess, a sort of chip on their shoulder in the sense that they knew they were competing against people who had better educations, right? So what they did was they devoted themselves to self-improvement, you know, learning by reading, gaining knowledge and things like that. And because it became a habit, they actually, during the course of their growth period, they increased their IQs significantly, and as much as 20 points. And so they may have started out with 110 IQ and they finished up with, you know, 130 IQ. And the interesting thing is there's science behind this, Michael. It's not just, you know, these millionaires telling me they got smarter. It's actual science. You know, the brain is made up of brain cells. They're called neurons. And on the neuron, they have the body, which is called the soma, and then they have the dendrites, and then they have the axon trunk. If you can think of a neuron, the axon is like the tree trunk, and the dendrites are like the branches on the tree. So a neuron will have these two things. And what happens when you engage in certain activities that force your brain to work and learn, like learning, reading to learn, is the brain cells actually increase the number of dendrites, and the axon trunk will actually increase the number of branches on the axon trunk so they can communicate with the increased number of dendrites. Now, another thing that happens is the axon trunk actually gets thicker. The myelin sheath that covers the axon, it's like insulation, it actually grows thicker. An interesting book I read about on brains dealt with Einstein, and they said there was nothing unusual about his brain except the axons were slightly larger in certain areas of his brain, and that's where he was doing a lot of his thinking.
Well, let's go back a step. What is IQ? By the way, Tom, I've actually never bothered to have an IQ test. Some people tell me I'm intelligent. Some think I'm dumb. So it's not really a competition with other people how you compare. We don't want to do it that way. But if we want to improve, we'll talk in a minute about how to improve our IQ. But what is it? What is IQ?
The best way to describe an IQ is your ability to see things that other people can't see. Now, it might be relationships. It might be two things that you're looking at. And some people might say, I don't understand how they're related. And you might see exactly how they're related. It could be data points. You could look at a couple of data points and you could see a relationship there. It's basically your brain is telling you, because of your higher IQ, that there's more out there that you're able to see in your environment that other people are not able to see. And the only reason you're able to see it is because you have a higher IQ.
Well, it stands for intelligence quota, of course. So it's really a measure of your reasoning ability. And it's meant to gauge how you can use information and logic to answer questions or make predictions. And so it's a score. And I guess you've got to do an IQ test if you really want to know. Now, we know IQ is not the only thing. There's also emotional quotients and other things as well. But if we're talking about intelligence and how smart you are, I think everyone's born with a baseline. So how do you improve your baseline, Tom?
Yeah, so there's certain activities which grow your IQ. One of them is kind of counterintuitive because you'd think it has nothing to do with thinking. It's exercise, particularly aerobic exercise. Now, also these high impact training routines that you see, that's very popular now. They actually increase the production of BDNF, which is a hormone, a protein that flows into the brain, and the brain uses that to nourish and grow the axon and the dendritic branches. So this BDNF is like putting your brain on steroids in a sense. So exercise gets you there, particularly the high impact training exercise. Also, aerobic exercise feeds your body, your blood, with more oxygen. You just are taking in significantly more oxygen into your bloodstream. Well, that oxygen flows through into the brain, and the brain cells now need that oxygen. They use that oxygen to convert the glucose and the ketones into ATP, which is fuel for the brain. So the more oxygen you have, the more brain fuel you can create. And of course, the more efficient your brain will be functioning.
Now, of course, we've probably got to give a disclaimer saying being intelligent doesn't mean you're going to be successful. And just because you may be not as intelligent or have as high an IQ as somebody else doesn't mean you're going to fail. But it would be nice to have a V8 or a V12 engine rather than a six-cylinder engine if you've got a choice, Tom.
Yeah. And so on that point, how do you go from a V8 to a V4? And that's by sitting on the couch watching TV, not doing any reading, just scrolling social media, looking for eye candy, sleeping too much. You only need about 8 hours of sleep, but maybe you're sleeping 10. Well, if you're inactive and you have a slothful way about your life, you're going to actually decrease the size of your brain cells and the axon trunks and the number of dendrites, which is going to the consequence of that is a lower IQ.
Well, I think one of the things that should come out of our many discussions over the years to our listeners and readers of our blogs is that success is a process. It's not an event. It takes time. It builds up. And that we all have rich habits, things that encourage us to move towards our goals, and we have poor habits that hold us back. Hey, Tom, that's a really good name for a book, isn't it? Rich Habits, Poor Habits. Somebody's thought of that. And so I know that you've done a lot of study on that. So one of the habits that makes you more intelligent is exercise. Before I ask you for some of the others, I think we should also give a disclaimer. Clearly, exercise isn't the only habit, because while I've been a little bit more into exercise over the last year, maybe brought about by COVID, it hasn't been one of the features of my life that has made me, I think, a little bit more intelligent than I used to be. So what are the other habits I could do if I'm saying, no, I don't want to do the exercise?
Yeah, well, learning in general. Now, there's different types of ways you can learn. It's auditory learning. There's kinetic learning. That's actually physically doing something and learning while you're doing. There's, you know, the tactile learning, which is reading. It's sort of taking in information through words. And then there's visual learning. I do a lot of my learning. In fact, I was just trying to figure out how to do something, and I went on YouTube, and voila, there's a video on how to drill a hole into a wall. I knew nothing about it because I'm a CPA. I'm not a construction worker. And so I looked at it, and as soon as I saw it, I immediately learned. And anything you do that's going to help you learn. Also, if you have a skill, I have writing skills. I write every day. That's practice. And the reason I write an article every day is some people say because I want to teach. That's part of it. But really, for me, it's practicing my writing skills. So I'm improving my ability to write, my skill set in writing, by writing every day. So that actually grows the neurons and the synapses and improves brain performance. Novelty, anything that's really new and different, it excites the brain. The brain loves novelty. So people who travel to different parts of the world, that's sort of a cousin of novelty. Well, you're learning different things while you're traveling. You're seeing different sights. You're consuming sensory information that your brain is processing, and then it's working its way into the neurons. And creative pursuits, doing anything creative, like taking up a painting as a new skill or a new creative skill. I didn't know I had any skills when it came to carpentry and construction work. And I found out last year when I built my Irish pub that I was damn good at it. And I probably would have made a great carpenter or construction worker, you know. So I developed some new skill sets last year that are still valuable to me, and I still use them to this day. And I know that probably increased my IQ a bit just from learning those new skills.
So really what we're saying is that your IQ isn't fixed. From what I've read, you can increase your IQ more easily when you're younger, and it's more likely to be fixed, difficult to change as you get older, Tom.
Yeah, there's some truth to that, but they're finding out with the latest brain science, the neuroscience, that the hippocampus produces about 1,500 new brain cells every day. Most of those brain cells go unused. But if you're doing these things that require the use of brain cells, those brain cells will be utilized by the brain. They'll actually move to the area, physically move like they're in water, to an area where there's a need for the brain cells. So think of your brain cells as like a bunch of scuba divers, and they're out there. And if you need them, the brain needs them, those scuba divers are going to get a message, and they're going to swim over to the area of the brain where they're needed.
So you said there's a few ways of increasing your IQ, and they don't all have to be difficult. As you said, learning an instrument, traveling, doing something new. So you can have fun while doing it. And you did hint a moment ago at some of the things you shouldn't be doing. So what are some of the things that hold back your IQ, or does it actually decrease if you do these things, Tom?
Yeah, so of course, inactivity is, I call them time-wasting habits. Any time-wasting habits, inactivity is going to actually decrease the size of brain cells. And it's going to shrink the axon trunk. It's going to shrink the dendrites. This pandemic, I think one of the things that I'm interested in is if somebody's going to do a study on people who were homebound, right? Mm. People who are stuck in their homes. Maybe if they are on Zoom, that might be a life preserver for them in terms of the brain performance. But if they're normally just sitting behind the desk, and now they're sitting behind a desk in their home with nobody around them, I think that that's actually going to impair their brain function. It's going to have a negative impact on their IQ. So the other thing is not being open-minded, but being closed-minded, if that happens to be a personality trait of yours, it's really a habit. It's not more than a personality trait. If you forge the habit of being closed-minded, I know a lot of people that are like that, that means you're not going to be open to new ideas, new thinking. And so, of course, your brain isn't going to grow. It's going to shrink. Not exercising, no athletic abilities, watching too much TV, spending too much time on social media. The kitten YouTube videos are nice and cute and everything, but they're actually decreasing your IQ. You're getting dumber every second you watch them.
So I guess the message from our chat today, Tom, is that your IQ isn't fixed at birth, and it's really your habits, not your genetics, that are going to determine your intelligence.
Yeah, epigenetics, which you're touching on, they're finding out actually is the reason why our brains continue to grow and improve as we age. If we use them like a muscle, they will grow, and certain genes will get turned on that will help improve brain performance. So yes, you're absolutely right. What you do with your life actually affects your genome and it affects your brain.
So I know you write about this every day. You've been consistent in that. So if people want to get more of your content, they can go to richhabits.net and they'll be able to get your daily blog. Of course, we'd love them to read our book, Rich Habits, Poor Habits, which talks more than about intelligence, but about how just to get more successful in life. And I know we're both very proud of it. It's been translated into multiple languages and has actually become an international bestseller.
Yeah, especially in China, as we just found out this year. That's a big hit in
China. It was amazing, wasn't it? How many people in China were interested in, it's been translated, of course, were interested in growing their rich habits.
Yeah, I think anywhere there's a thirst for entrepreneurism or capitalism, I think our book is perfect for any of those countries, because we actually teach you how to leverage the entrepreneurial spirit in your country to become very successful.
So it's not just based on getting up each morning and doing affirmations and feeling good. It's actually based on your very detailed rich habits study and my experience mentoring and training people. So if you want to get a copy of that international bestseller book, just go to richhabitspoorhabits.com and you can get your own hard copy, or Amazon or any of those online bookshops, because where people are listening to this, Tom, not many people are going into bookshops anymore. I think, unfortunately, that's one of the casualties of COVID, because people aren't allowed to touch books, pull them out, put them back. It's a pity.
Yeah, you know, the flip side of that is people are buying more books online, I think. In fact, Amazon had such a surge last year. I found this out from my publisher. They had such a surge that for a week, they stopped selling books, any books that didn't have anything to do with the pandemic, because there was such a demand for books related to viruses and things like that, that they shut down authors who weren't selling books that were related to the pandemic. That was amazing to me.
That is amazing. Well, we've got through it in Australia. You're part of the way through it. You're a little bit further behind than the United States, but I look forward to catching up with you once a month in these regular Rich Habits, Poor Habits chats. Thanks, Tom.
Yeah, thank you, Michael.
In a moment, I'm going to share with you my mindset message, but I hope you can see there's an underlying theme in this podcast. Even though the basic concept is about property, investment, success, and money, the underlying theme is the psychology of success and your behaviours. That's why I enjoy my chats with Tom Cawley and why I regularly share the mindset messages. I'm going to give you one in just a moment. But that's also the reason that when you choose our team at Metropole to give you direction, guidance, and above average results in your property investment, you're going to find we have a very holistic approach. We understand property investment and success is much more than just how many properties you've got, how much money you've got. So if you'd like to find out how you can get my team to help you achieve the sort of results that you want, go to metropole.com.au. It always starts with strategic property advice. getting a plan in place to help you become the person you plan to become. And that often involves finance and wealth advisory and financial planning. And of course, would help you buy investment-grade properties, but we've got to understand where you want to head, and that's why it all starts with a plan. Go to metropole.com.au and find out why our clients are 7.3 times more likely to own six or more properties than the average investor. By the way, that's an audited result that we got last year. I'm very proud of those results. metropole.com.au. I look forward to being part of your ongoing wealth creation journey.
Now here's Michael's mindset message. Remember, a change in your thinking will lead to a change in your life.
I'd like to share some interesting facts with you. Did you know the first car was invented in Germany in 1886 when there were no proper roads, no petrol stations, and in fact it was against the law? But Carl Benz launched it anyway. Did you know amongst the 50 greatest pieces of music ever created, 6 belong to Mozart, 5 to Beethoven and 3 to Bach? But in order to create those, Mozart apparently wrote over 600 songs, Beethoven over 650 and Bach well over 1,000. I also read that Thomas Edison had around 2,000 patents, yet only a handful would be recognised. And Albert Einstein published 248 scientific articles, yet only a few of them got recognised for his theory of relativity. I guess it shows that you don't always win, but every time you lose, you get stronger. The issue is that most people are scared to even try. They're waiting for the perfect moment, I don't know, to buy the next investment property or take that business opportunity or start a new relationship. I mean, no one likes approaching the bank for money and stepping outside their comfort zone if they want to start a business. No one likes the rejection. No one wants the door slammed in their face. They don't want to see their efforts fall short. I know, rejection's painful, but nothing is as painful as being stuck where you don't belong. If you want to get to the next level, start before you're ready. That's one of the messages I want to share with you today, because no one's going to do it for you. Your fear of looking stupid is in fact making you look stupid, because the only thing worse than inaction is seeing somebody dumber than you, less skilled than you, doing better than you. Look, let's be realistic. To get ahead in this world, in the real world, you're going to have to take action. So why is it that most people don't take action? Now, sometimes it's lack of knowledge, but more frequently it comes down to fear that's stopping them. It's stopping people living their dreams. However, I've found that successful people tend to act in spite of their fears. They've learned to harness their fears and use them to their advantage. You'll often hear me say, your thoughts lead to your feelings. Your feelings lead to your actions, and your actions lead to your results. It's something I learned many, many years ago when reading the book The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Wattles. And T. Harv Eker has renewed those thoughts in his great book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind. Look, your thoughts lead to your feelings lead to your actions lead to your results. And the fact is, look, we all got lots of good ideas. We've got sufficient thoughts, we've got sufficient feelings. But the problem is most people don't take action. As I was suggesting a moment ago, the culprit for most people is fear. And that's why to succeed in life, you've got to take action despite your fears. Now, some of the common fears I hear about when I mentor people in my 12-month Learn the Science of Becoming Wealthy mentorship program include, well, the common one, property, I guess, is the fear of debt. People are scared to take on debt. They don't understand how to manage their money properly. Of course, another one's the fear of ridicule. Look, you can't do much about what other people say, but you can control how you react to it. What other people think about you is really none of your business. Of course, a big one is the fear of failure. People are scared that what if I make an attempt at whatever and it doesn't work? I understand why people don't like that. No one likes to get it wrong. Interestingly, another fear a lot of people have is the fear of success. Surprisingly, this can be almost as paralyzing as the fear of failure. And it sort of comes back to something called the imposter syndrome or the fear of not being worthy. Many people fail to take action because they fear they don't deserve success or wealth. And This tends to stem from their financial programming that they received as children. And interestingly, these fears, even the fear of not being worthy, I see this amongst successful people as well as less successful people. So the key to success is not to let your fears scare you into inaction, but to use them to prepare you for action. In other words, you need courage. And if you think about it, you can only experience courage in the face of fear. Yet fear is our greatest obstacle to living happy, peaceful, powerful lives. So what is fear? I guess the true definition of fear is anticipation of pain. Since anticipation is based in the future, and the future only really exists in our imagination, fear doesn't really exist in reality. It only lives in our head. Therefore, it's our protective mind that prevents us from taking actions necessary to attain our dreams. You know, your mind's there to look after you, to protect you. It's like an over-worried mother, and it's constantly creating doom and gloom scenarios, trying to scare the heck out of you in the hope that you won't try anything new. Your mind doesn't like change, does it? And your protective mind's favourite word is, what if this happens? What if that happens? And even though none of these things have actually happened, and when you think about it, the chances of these things ever happening is unlikely, but this soap opera script continues to blare loudly in our head. Have you noticed most of the things you worry about never actually occur? But unfortunately, we tend to take this mind trick as gospel, and we have all these wonderful ideas of growth and opportunity, but we get bogged down by the uncertainty and the doubt. So it's important to recognize that our protective mind's not necessarily right. It's not necessary to believe it. Its agenda has nothing to do with making us happy or successful. Its job is to keep you in a place that's safe and secure and familiar. Unfortunately, many people just wait for their fears to subside before taking action. Now, that's a big mistake. It's not necessary to get rid of your fears in order to act. The most effective strategy is to learn to tame your fears by acknowledging the feelings and then taking action anyway. Fear itself's really got no power over you. It's you, you alone, that can give fear its power. If you allow fear to stop you, it will. If you recognize that it's really just a protective part of your brain doing its job, sometimes a little too well, you can simply say to your mind, thank you for sharing, and then you just proceed with your actions. Now, just to make things clear, as I said a moment ago, successful people also have fears. Successful people have doubts. Successful people worry. Once a year, I get together with a small group of very successful business people, entrepreneurs, and investors at Wealth Retreat. And as we unpack what's going on, what's allowed them to get to where they've gotten to, and what's holding them back from getting to the next level, it's interesting how they all share the same fears, the same imposter syndrome, the same feelings of not being worthy, not being good enough. The only difference, though, between those who've succeeded and those who don't is that the successful people have acted in spite of their fears. They've acted in spite of their doubts. They've acted in spite of their worry. If they can, so can you. So ask yourself, what would I do if I absolutely knew I couldn't fail? That's a really good question. What would I do if I absolutely knew I couldn't fail? Because the answer to that is likely to give you a good indication of what you would do and who you would become if you lived your life based on what's in your heart, what's in your soul, what's in your desire, as opposed to what you fear. And what this means is that every time you're feeling uncomfortable, instead of retreating back into your comfort zone, pat yourself on the back and say, hey, this is great. I'm moving forward. I'm growing. Because when you become uncomfortable, that's what's happening. If you want to become a successful, whatever it is, property investor, business person, entrepreneur, if you want to truly become one of the wealthy, you're going to have to become comfortable with being uncomfortable. Well, I hope you got some benefit from today's show. And if you did, and my shows with Tom are always amongst the most downloaded ones, the Rich Habits, Poor Habits podcast seem to be very popular. If you got some benefit and you know somebody else who'd get some benefit as well, why not tell them about the Michael Yardney podcast? Help me in my quest to make as many people as financially fluent as possible to help raise the standards around the world. Now, if you want to catch me in between these twice weekly shows, just look for me on social media, Michael Yardney, and you can, of course, join my private Facebook group. I mention it each week because that's where I leave some tips, some charts, some commentary that you won't get elsewhere. Just go to Facebook and look for the Property Update private Facebook group. I'll be back again real soon. In the meantime, have a great week. Make it a great week.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Michael Yardney podcast, which was brought to you by Metropole, who help their clients grow, protect, and pass on their wealth through strategic property and wealth advice. If you like what you heard and don't already subscribe, you'll find us on iTunes or on your favorite Android app as the Michael Yardney podcast. Watch out for our next show, which comes to you twice a week, and you'll learn some new ideas about property investment, success, and money in around 30 minutes. To get more of Michael's thoughts, go across to www.propertyupdate.com.au and sign up for his daily morning briefing, and you'll hear from not only Michael, but a group of leading property success and money experts. And just a reminder that the information you heard in this show today is general educational advice and not specific investment advice, as we don't know your personal circumstances. If you're looking for specific advice, why not ask the team at Metropole to help you?